Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text is the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Last week, after Jesus had healed Simon's mother-in-law, then the crowd started coming and they brought their sick and even those that were demon-possessed, and Jesus healed and cast out demons throughout that night. And then we heard Jesus say these words, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And so Jesus comes in our text and he starts preaching. And Luke, guided by the Holy Spirit, doesn't record a single word of the sermon. I don't know, when I looked at the text, I got a little frustrated by that. Does that frustrate you at all? Well, there's a point to this. The words of Jesus' sermon from the boat in the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Tiberias, don't let the many names of the place bother you. But the point of this sermon was not the sermon. The point of this text is about the calling of St. Peter, his coming to faith and his repentance in that faith, and his call into the office as apostle. You remember Simon had previously met Jesus. Andrew had brought him to him. Remember Andrew and another unnamed disciple of John the Baptist overheard John say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," and then followed Jesus and then brought him. Obviously, then Peter had returned after a time of being with Jesus to his business of fishing. Anyway, Simon and company are now on shore washing their nets. They had a very unsuccessful night. And that makes for a very grumpy morning of net washing. The washing of a net would be to get out the shells and anything that got caught up in the net that obviously weren't fish, but messes and tears at your net. And so a crowd gathers. And good for Peter, the crowd doesn't gather to mock him at his poor fishing expedition the night before, but rather to hear Jesus. As no doubt because of the works that he had done, the surrounding areas had heard about him healing the sick and casting out demons and preaching with authority. The text tells us that the crowd was pressing in on him. And I remember when I was looking at this text, because I was preparing for it, before the Super Bowl. After end of the Super Bowl, you saw Tom Brady. And as the game ended, the media mobbed him, where they had to have people there pushing them away so that he didn't get knocked over. And I kind of imagine that that's how the mob was for Jesus, because what Jesus does is he looks down and he sees a boat, he sees two boats, and he gets into Simon's boat and he says, "Let's set out a little bit." Now the perfect thing for this is it serves two purposes. First, it gets Jesus a safe distance from the crowd that is mobbing him. And second, it allows him to use his creation as a natural amphitheater so that the people could hear him preach. For the word of Jesus, well, it changes lives. It not only changes water to wine and heals the sick and chases demons away, but it changes fishermen into fishers of men. Luther says on our text for today, "To them that believe, this text is most easy to understand, which sets forth two things unto us, namely faith and temporal good things. First, it declares unto them that believe in Christ that they shall have sufficient wherewith to sustain themselves even in this life, which Christ shows by this, when he gives so many fishes to Peter and his companions." And yet, as always, Jesus puts first things first. So Jesus preaches, for as we know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. Our large catechism speaks this way. Neither you nor I could ever know anything about Christ or believe in Him or have Him as our Lord unless it were offered to us and granted to our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. The work of redemption is done and accomplished. Christ has acquired and gained the treasure for us by His suffering, death, and resurrection, and so on. But if the work remained concealed so that no one knew about it, then it would be useless and lost. So that this treasure might not stay buried, but be received and enjoyed, God has caused the word to go forth and be proclaimed. In the word, He has the Holy Spirit bring this treasure home and make it our own. This is from the large catechism. You're probably more familiar with the small catechism's explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I cannot of my own reason or strength believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him, but that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, and in the same way calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in Jesus Christ in the one true faith. So Jesus has now proclaimed the word, and now He goes forth and showing the authority that He has in that word that He proclaimed. And He says to Simon, "Put into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." If Peter is anything like us, he grumbled. Right? "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets." Kind of interesting that Peter was willing to even do that. We as pastors often hear this, because here you have a rabbi telling fishermen how to do their job. And we pastors often hear parishioners telling us, Pastor Ralph and I both heard this and try to figure out what it actually means. People will say, "Well, if you were in the real world..." What world am I in? And so Jesus, the rabbi, says to the fishermen, "Put down your net." And what follows is unthinkable to Peter. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners and in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And while this is an amazing catch of fish, the text isn't about amazing fish catching techniques either. The fish catch is simply an answer to our prayer for daily bread. No, the greatest miracle that happens on that day is the faith that is given to Simon Peter and the repentance that this faith produces in him. For there he falls down at Jesus' knees and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Much like Isaiah in our Old Testament text today. For faith drives this godly fear, just as you learned in the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." And Luther tells us that that means that we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That is, there is nothing you should fear more than God. And at last, when we fear God, He comes to us saying, "Don't be afraid." How awesome is that? That's absolution from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus says to Simon, "Don't be afraid, for now on you'll be catching men." And with these words, Jesus places Peter permanently into the office of apostle. Our fears say a lot about us. They actually reveal our idols. So I ask you, what are you afraid of? The answer to that question is the answer to the same question, what is your God? Are you afraid to die? Are you afraid to hurt or to suffer? To lose or be lost? Are you afraid of the past or perhaps the future? Or you might be afraid of people finding out what you did. Are you afraid of your parents, your children, your boss, or your neighbor? Are you afraid of pain? Afraid of yourself? Afraid of the devil? What is it that is your God or gods? The last thing that a sinner wants is Jesus to be hanging around because his coming should terrify us to our core. No matter what trouble we're in, this is the most profound and pressing concern that we have. Jesus should judge us because of our sins. But he doesn't. Instead of condemning us because of our sins, Jesus takes our sins, bears our sins, wears our sins all the way to the cross. And there, instead of condemning us, he is cursed, afflicted, stricken, and forsaken in our place. Jesus suffers for us, dies for us to redeem us. This is the absolution, the forgiveness of sins, the purest and sweetest gospel there can be. When the knowledge of our sins and God's holiness pushes out every other fear so that we stand terrified of God's wrath and only of God's wrath, when the last thing we can say is, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord," God says to us, "I am nothing to be afraid of. Look here at my son. Look what he has done. He's died for your sins. He was crucified for you." Therefore, we continue to gather together and confess our sins. And yet there is good news for us. We've been absolved. Thus being restored to our office as members of the priesthood of all believers, and I pray some of you young men will even be called out of the priesthood of all believers and into the office of the ministry. And so Luther says about this gospel that the devil will growl furiously on account of it matters nothing. Whether he laughs or raves, the word shall accomplish that whereunto it is sent and bring forth much fruit. Many shall believe in the Son of God, receive remission of sins, be justified, and become heirs of the eternal Father. For this purpose, God has given us His Word. He has given us absolution. He has given us the sacrament of baptism. And He has given us the sacrament of the altar. These are His nets by which His children are delivered from the world, whose prince and God is the devil, and by which he preserves them from the devil's wiles and the world's tyranny, and strengthens them in faith so that they may not be condemned with the world. Dear saints, Jesus, you see, he's never content being silent. He wants to be preached for you. He wants his promises to be heard by you. He wants you to believe, and he wants to be in you. He wants his name and kindness to echo in our ears and in our hearts so that we have nothing to fear because he loves you. And I have good news for you today. You came, you confessed, you've been absolved, your sins have been forgiven, you've entered into God's house in your baptism as heirs of the kingdom of heaven. You have heard the word read and proclaimed, and now the foretaste of the feast that is to come is offered. God has spread his net. Let us rejoice that we have been caught. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.